Bible reading in the book of Matthew, chapter 16. Matthew, chapter 16. Verse number 13. Certainly happy for our visitors that have come in. Don't you appreciate the presence of the Lord? Matthew chapter 16 and verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto him, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The Lord would stand by me today. I would like to preach liar, lunatic, or Lord. Which is he, this Jesus of Nazareth? For a man to make the claims that he makes, for a man to assert that he is the Christ, that he is the Son of God, he is either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. I assert today, he's Lord. You perhaps may have seen the little cartoon. Charles Schulz and his Peanuts cartoon shows Lucy and Linus looking out a window, watching it rain. And Lucy opens the conversation. She says, "Boy, look at it rain. What if it floods the whole world?" Linus said, "It'll never do that. For in the 9th chapter of Genesis, God promised Noah that this would never happen again. And the sign of that promise is a rainbow." Lucy said, "You've taken a great load off my mind." Linus said, "Sound theology has a way of doing that." Today I would like to, if the Lord would help me, to offer you some sound theology about who Jesus really is. For you see, who Jesus is, that is the bedrock of our belief. That is the foundation of our faith. And it is the stability of our standing. Upon the belief that Jesus is Lord, that he is the Christ, he is the Son of God, that is the foundation upon which we build. First, let's ask humanity. What did men say in the past? What did men say in the past? Let's ask humanity. You see, Jesus, he quizzes his disciples, and he asks of them, "Whom do men say that I am? John the Baptist? Am I John the Baptist?" Some say, "Well, you're John the Baptist. He was a holy man. He died for his faith." King Herod thought that Jesus was John, raised from the dead. When Jesus came on the scene, he's greater than John the Baptist. Elias, one of the greatest Old Testament prophets. The Jews were expecting Elijah to return before the Messiah came. That's found in Malachi 4 and 5. And some believe that this Jesus was a forerunner, but he was not the Messiah. Or maybe Jeremiah, a holy prophet, was expected to return to earth to prepare the way. He was supposed to, according to Jewish legend, bring with him the tabernacle and the Ark of the Covenant and the altar of incense, and which was hidden in Mount Nebo, and perhaps he would be the one. Or one of the prophets, a man of God sent with a message for the time. All of these views elevated Jesus. All of these views lifted him to a high pedestal, be it John the Baptist, be it Elijah, be it Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But my friend, while the Jews believed all these to be great men, Jesus was more than just a great man. Jesus was more than just an ordinary man, for he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What did men say of him in the past? They said good things, some. And then others, they said evil things. In Mark chapter 6 and verse 3, some said he was a lowly carpenter. In John 6 and 42, they said he was the son of Joseph. In John 9 and 24, they said he was a sinner. In John 8 and 41, they said he was an illegitimate child. In Matthew 12 and 24, they said he had a devil. In John 10 and 20, they said that he was a madman. In Matthew 27, 38 through 43, they said that he was a fool and an object of contempt and scorn. In John chapter 7, verses 3 through 5, even his half-brothers had harsh things to say about him. All of these people, they tried to demoralize and degrade the Son of God and bring him down to their level. And let me ask you this, if those people in that day said those kind of things about Jesus when he was working miracles, when he was raising the dead and healing the sick and reaching out to lost humanity, if they said those things about Jesus then when he was present among them, wonder what they would say about him today. For Jesus said in Luke 23 and 31, "For if they do these things in the green tree, what shall they do in the dry?" That's what men said about Jesus in the past. Think not only about what they said of Jesus in the past, but consider what do men say about Jesus in the present. What are men saying about him now? Well, according to the book New Heavens and New Earth, page 30 and 31, the Jehovah Witnesses say, Michael the Archangel is no other than the only begotten Son of God, now Jesus Christ. That's what the Jehovah Witnesses say. They say that Jesus is just merely a created being like the angels. In the book Journal of Discourses, it is said concerning the Mormons, they say that Jesus was married at Cana of Galilee and had many wives, included Mary and Martha, and he also had man children. According to the Mormon doctrine, page 163, they declare that Lucifer, the son of the morning, is our elder brother, the brother of Jesus. In the Journal of Discourses, volume 1, page 50, the Mormons declare Jesus, our elder brother, was begotten in the flesh by the same character that was in the Garden of Eden, and who is our Father in heaven. I'm glad I can stand flat-footed and say they're wrong. They're bad wrong. According to Divine Principles, page 210, concerning the followers of Sun Young Moon, they say concerning Jesus, he can by no means be God himself. And concerning those that follow Islam, in the Sura, chapter 43 and verse 59, they declare Jesus was no more than a mortal whom Allah favored and made an example to the Israelites. They are unbelievers who say God is Messiah, Mary's son. And then the Jews, the Jewish Talmud, here's what they say concerning Mary, the mother of Jesus. She was a descendant of princes and governors, but she played the harlot with carpenters. Mary was no more than a hairdresser who had sexual relationships with men. The Jews go on to say this Jesus was executed because he practiced sorcery. The Sanhedrin, they say Jesus is in hell, boiling in hell. My friend, if all of that were true, we could turn off the lights and lock the building. But I'm glad to declare that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. But I'm glad we don't have to just ask humanity about who Jesus is. Those that were in the past and those now in the present. I do not want to only ask humanity about who Jesus is. I'd like to ask heaven about who Jesus is. Let's ask the Sovereign. Let's ask the Father. For in Matthew chapter 3 and verse number 17, the Father speaks, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." That's what heaven has got to say about Jesus. And then in Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." That's what heaven has to say about who Jesus is. That's what the Father, the Sovereign God, said. But there are also spirits in heaven. Spirits of the heavens and spirits of hell. Notice what the spirits of heaven, that angelic host, when they appeared on the night of our Lord's birth, what did those angels say? "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Hallelujah. That's what those heavenly spirits say. He is none other than Christ the Lord. All of heaven worships Him. All of heaven bows before Him. All of heaven pays homage to Him. Every knee bows. Every heart is humbled. All of heaven recognize that He is none other than the Son of God. Spirits of heaven, spirits also of hell. When Jesus encountered demonic spirits, they would respond with this saying, "Art thou come to torment us before our time?" They knew who he was. Even the demons and the imps of hell, they knew who he was. Yes, they do. And James says in James 2:19, the devils also believe and tremble. What do you say about it? The Sovereign God says, "He's my Son and I'm pleased with Him." The spirits of heaven say, "He's the Son of God." The spirits of hell, they even admit, "He is the Son of God." I won't take time to read all of these. You may want to get the tape. But the Scriptures, they also declare He is the Son of God. Scriptures such as Isaiah 9 and verse 6, Micah chapter 2 verse 5, Isaiah chapter 53 verses 1 through 12, John chapter 1 verse 1, Mark chapter 1 verse 1, Philippians chapter 2 verse 5, Acts chapter 2 verse 36, Acts chapter 10 verse 36. All of these Scriptures attest to the fact that Jesus is Lord. As a matter of fact, this word Lord implies, amen, exactly who He is. He is in control. He is deity. He is Jesus, which means Jehovah is salvation. He is not only Jesus, but He is Jesus the Christ, which means the Anointed One. Hallelujah. It refers to Jesus as the one chosen by God to be the Messiah. The Scriptures, the Bible, they tell us who Jesus is. He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And then the saints. Let's not forget about the saints. All of those eight saints that went before, they also declared that He was the Son of God. John chapter 1 verse 34, the forerunner is there baptizing in Jordan, and he looks as one comes, and he says, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Hallelujah. He pronounces Him to be the Son of God. And then in John 1:34, John goes on to declare, "And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God." Aren't you glad He is? Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul, after his great conversion, on the road to Damascus in Acts chapter 9. And in verse number 20, it tells us what he does after his conversion. And straightway, he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. I want to tell you today, my friend, the world may doubt it. And the atheist may scoff it, and others may mock it, but nevertheless, he is the Son of God. Not only the Scriptures, and not only the spirits of heaven and of hell admit he is the Son of God, but the Savior himself. The Savior himself. He tells us of his true identity. And in John chapter 14 in verse 9, he says, "He that has seen me has seen the Father." There's a family resemblance. In John chapter 10 in verse 30, "I and my Father are one." In John chapter 8 in verse 58, Jesus saith unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am." In John chapter 14 in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." John chapter 17, the whole chapter, attests to the fact that Jesus is none other than the Son of God. In John chapter 6 and verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life." In chapter 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world." In chapter 10, verse 9, "I am the door." In chapter 10, verse 11, "I am the good shepherd." In chapter 10, verse 36, "I am the Son of God." In chapter 11, verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life." In chapter 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." In chapter 15, verse 1, "I am the true vine." He's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. But I'm glad today I can say he is Lord. He is Lord. He is Lord. What does humanity have to say about him? What does heaven have to say about him? But last, I want to ask you, what does our hearts have to say about him? Let's hear it from our heart. What do you say? What do you say about who I am? Let's hear it from the heart. Let's hear it from others' hearts. Let's hear it from Simeon's heart in Luke chapter 2, verse 28. Remember Simeon in the temple waiting on the consolation of Israel? What did Simeon say? "Then he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel." That's what Simeon said about him. And then don't forget Nathanael in John 1 in verse 49. Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Then my text today, Matthew 16:16. What did Peter say? "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Then roll back to John 4 and verse number 29. Jesus has met a woman at the well, and he gave her living water, and she left her bucket, and she went running to the city, and she said, "Come see a man which told me all things I ever did. Is not this the Christ?" Hallelujah. And then John chapter 11, what about that? Lazarus is dead. Those sisters of Bethany, they weep, and they stand before the tomb of their brother. And then in John 11 and 27, notice what Martha said. She saith unto him, "Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world." Hallelujah. She was so close to death, the death of her dear beloved brother, but something within her heart witnessed, "He's the Christ, the Son of God." But then, remember, in the book of Luke, chapter 23, this is a dark day. This is a fateful moment. And here's a man that is even more close to death. Here is a man that is even more nigh unto death, for he himself is dying. Verse 39 of Luke 23, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other, let's ask some other hearts. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto him, Lord, hallelujah. That's who he said he was. Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Who did the thief say he was? The thief said he was Lord. But don't forget about that centurion that is standing at the foot of the cross in Mark chapter 15, verse 39. And when the centurion which stood over against him saw that he so cried out and gave up the ghost, he said, Truly this man was the Son of God. And then don't forget about that one of the 12 that was AWOL, who was absent without leave and did not show up for the first Easter service on that Sunday night. Thomas was not there. And he said, Except I see the print of the nails and I put my hand in his side, I will not believe. But after 8 days, hallelujah, when the disciples were within, came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it in my side, and be not faithless but believing. Then Thomas answered and said, My Lord and my God. Wow! Who do you say he is today? Who do you say Jesus is? Let's hear it. From our hearts. Others' hearts. Our heart. Is he just a baby at Christmas? Or a guy on a cross at Easter? Or is he the crucified and risen Lord? Is he a way to God? Or the only way to God? Is he a good man? A good teacher, a prophet, or is he the only Son of God, the only hope of salvation? Is he a liar? No, he's not a liar. Because he is the way and the truth. And lo, I come in the volume of the book. Every word in this Holy Ghost-inspired book, Amen, was God-breathed and spoken by Him. He is not partial truth. He is not part truth. He is all truth. He is only truth. He's not a liar. He is the truth. He's not a liar. He is the truth, Amen. Is he a lunatic? Well, I read in the Bible, in the Gospel of Mark, but where Jesus purposed to pass over to the other side, great storm came up and the disciples were fearful. Finally they landed at the coast there, and there on the coast there of Decapolis in the land of Gadara, there was a man who lived among the tombs, and he was crying and cut himself with stones. Chains could not hold him. He was a terrorist of that community. But when he came into the presence of Jesus, Jesus gave him victory. And Jesus gave him liberty. And that lunatic is then seen cold and sitting in his right mind. He's not a lunatic, but he can deliver those that are crazed in their mind, those that are plagued by spirits. Jesus Christ can deliver, and Jesus Christ can set free. Well, he's not a liar. Neither is he a lunatic. So certainly, he must be Lord. Hallelujah. That's what Peter affirmed in Acts 4:12 when he said, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. So that brings me to a question today as I close. I think we have tried to cover the ground well as to who Jesus is. No matter what humanity may say, let us hear what heaven says, and let us hear what our heart has to say. What will you do with Jesus? That's the question. You will agree with me, he's no liar, he's no lunatic, he's Lord. Do you agree? So now that we agree on that, the question is, what will you do with him? If he's a liar, no matter. If he's a lunatic, no consequence. But if he's Lord, now there's the question. Hallelujah. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. He's no liar. He's no lunatic. He's Lord. There's the question. What will you do with Jesus Christ, the Lord? In closing, I found the words of an old song. Probably never heard it before. It was unfamiliar to me. What will you do with Jesus? Jesus is standing at your heart's door, standing and waiting. He's knocked before. This is the question you face once more. What will you do with Jesus? At you, sad heart, he is knocking still, longing to enter your soul to feel. You must accept or reject his will. What will you do with Jesus? Oh, will you leave him alone outside? Or will you choose him, whatever betide? This is the question you must decide. What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? What will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. One day your heart will be asking, now what will Jesus do with me? Stand all over the house. Come, Sister Cindy. Father in heaven, I've done my best to preach this message that you inspired upon my heart. I do not know the hearts of every individual in this building, but Lord, you do. And Father, to the best of my knowledge and my strength, I have tried to lift up your name and glorify thy Son. I pray for that sinner in the house today. I pray for that backslider. I pray for that one that does not know you as Lord. Bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that they may bow their knee and humble their heart and own Christ as Lord. Your head's bowed. That's the question, friend. What will you do with Jesus? For indeed, he is Lord. Is he Lord of your life? Yes, he's Lord of heaven. Yes, he's Lord of earth. Yes, he's Lord of all creation, but is he your Lord? Is he your Lord today? Heads bowed all over the house. Is there one hand that would be upraised and say, Brother MacDonald, I'm not a Christian, but I want Jesus to be my Lord. I want to find him as Savior today. All over the house, is there one? All over the house, is there one?
Anybody? Any unsaved hearts? Is there one? Is there any unsaved hearts? All right. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, I know Jesus is Lord. I know He's the Son of God. And at one time I had a close relationship with Him. But that relationship is not what it should be. I need to renew my vows. I need to again own Him as Lord of my life." Is there a hand? I'm reaching for somebody here today. I see one hand. Thank you. How about it? Is He really Lord? Is He Lord of your life? Every day, each waking moment, do you put Him first in your life? Or maybe it's just someone you think of on Sunday. Or maybe when you're in a crunch, your life gets in a pinch, then you cry out for the Lord. But I'm talking about a consistent experience with Him, Jesus Christ, as Lord. Is there anybody? Time for you this morning. I want Him to be Lord. Preacher, I'm still battling with some things. My faith is not as strong as it should be. There's some habits in my life. There's some things that I have got to get victory over. I want you to pray for me that Christ will be Lord of my life. There's one hand. There's two, three.